But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. Good morning, friends. We're happy to be coming your way once again by means of radio. What a privilege to have the gospel ride the airwaves and go into homes and cars over the nation. I consider this a sacred trust of the Lord. To those who make it possible, I am greatly indebted. Now consider this. Samuel was going to anoint a king. He went to the hometown of Jesse as the Lord had directed. In fact, it was Bethlehem. When Samuel saw the oldest son, he thought, Surely this is the fine young man whom the Lord has chosen to be king instead of Saul. But then came this admonition from the Lord. Don't look on his outward appearance. You see, there is sometimes a great difference between outward appearance and inward condition. The way a person is known in his community is reputation. But what he actually is inwardly is character. One may be well thought of and have a good reputation, but inwardly his character may be stained with the marks of sin and shame. I have been thinking of different people whom the Bible mentions and the kind of portrait they present according to what they really are at heart. First, let us get the profile, and then we will see if we can find the character. Listen, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Ecclesiastes 7:9. Now, get this picture. I'm speaking about anger. Listen again. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Proverbs 15:1. That leads me to believe anger can cause lots of trouble, and that is so true. Grievous words stir up anger, and anger resteth in the bosom of fools. There is another characteristic which often accompanies anger. It is known as jealousy. Here is what it will do. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Solomon 8:6. Can you think of anyone in the Bible who fits this description? How about these two brothers, Cain and Abel? How often is this the case with brothers? Listen, and in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, or the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Genesis 4:3-8. Here, we see jealousy and anger combine into a very wicked thing, murder. In 1 John, we find these words, For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. 1 John 3:11-15. This is strong language, but it is the truth. Let me draw another picture of greed and covetousness. God had been blessing the preaching in Samaria, which Philip had done. Sinners were saved. People were delivered of unclean spirits and bodies were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all give heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, This man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because out of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. Acts 8:8-11. Well, to get at the heart of this, Let us hasten on. This Simon believed Philip's preaching and was baptized. He also paid particular attention to those miracles and signs which were done by Philip. The church heard of how God had blessed the folks in Samaria and saved so many of them. They sent Peter and John to continue preaching to them. So Peter and John came and preached unto them of the Holy Ghost. They laid hands on them, and the Holy Ghost was given. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God." Acts 8:18-21. The true state of Simon's heart was one of greed and covetousness. In the early church, there were some others who displayed deceitfulness. Think of Ananias and Sapphira. They were going along with the saints, sold some property as perhaps others had been doing, and were giving it to the church. But the thing of it was, they pretended to give all and yet held back a sum for their own use. It had been theirs, and they could have done with it what they wished. They could have even kept all of it for their own use, but they were not honest with it. Here is where the trouble came in. Because of it, both of them fell dead and were taken out and buried. The heart of Ananias and Sapphira was corrupt. Let us also consider Judas. He had the same opportunity as the other disciples had. Judas had been with Jesus and knew of the miracles and healings, but somewhere along the line, his heart had become corrupted. When the opportunity to make some real money appeared, Judas was ready to betray the Christ whom he pretended to love. Listen. "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, 'What will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you.' And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him." Matthew 26:14-16. Let me assure you, if you are looking for an opportunity to be crooked and dishonest, you will surely find it. There was Elymas the sorcerer, who sought to turn away the devil from the truth. Paul pronounced a curse upon him, and he went about blind for a season, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Listen to those solemn words of Paul. "O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?" That was a hard saying, but it was the truth, and God honored it. This prophet Balaam kept asking the Lord if he could go at the request of Balak, who wanted him to curse the people of God. The Lord told him no, but he was like a persistent child and kept asking. You see, Balak was ready to give him plenty of money if he would only come and curse the people of God. Well, it wasn't the will of God at all that such a curse should be pronounced. But, oh, that money looked so good. Finally, Balaam got permission to go. But it was to his own sorrow. Even the dumb ass talked to him and reproved him for his anger and misconduct. Friend, let us be like the writer of these verses in Psalms 139:23-24. Listen, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Let us pray. Our Father, we thank Thee for all the blessings which You send us daily. Help us to walk worthy of the great calling You've given us. We ask that You would search, cleanse, and lead each one day by day. Especially we pray for those who are troubled and perplexed. Many are sick and afflicted. We pray for them. Give victory and deliverance, and Thine shall be the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, if we may be of some help to you in finding God, be sure to let us know. You may write us by addressing your letter to The Mission Trail, Guthrie, Oklahoma. and thanks to all who make the broadcast possible from week to week. And now this song, If You Believe. The singers are Bob and Dora Forbes, Randall Flynn, and Melvin Doolittle.
I read about
how Paul and Silas were in jail,
and no one there,
and no one there, nobody there could go their bail.
But when they prayed,
they found that God was on their side.
That jailhouse door
swung open wide.
If you believe,
you shall receive.
There's not a
trouble or care the good Lord can't relieve. Oh, He is just the same today. All you have to do is just trust and pray and believe. You must believe.
When Daniel sat
within the hungry lion's den,
Nobody thought
that there was any hope for him.
But all night long
the lions never took a bite.
God closed their mouths
and shut them tight.
If you believe,
you shall receive.
There's not a
trouble or care the good Lord can't relieve.
Oh,
He is just the same today. All you have to do is just trust and pray and believe. You must believe.
When David stood
before the giant with his sling,
Goliath laughed
at such a puny little thing.
But David knew
his faith in God would stand the test.
He flung the rock,
God did the rest.
Until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying God bless and keep you, and a very cheerful goodbye.
Not a trouble or care the good Lord can't relieve. Oh, He is just the same today. All you have to do is just trust and pray and believe. You must believe.